This is City Cafe. I'm John Lemley. We're standing right now outside Atlanta's Amtrak Brookwood Station on Peachtree Street with Dr. Tim Crimmins, director of the Center for Neighborhood and Metropolitan Studies at Georgia State University. In April of 1918, the passenger facility here was in its very first months of operations. We are here on the northern edge of Midtown, the traffic of Interstate 7585 humming just below us, and skyscrapers of Midtown and Buckhead are towering nearby. Now, Dr. Crimmins, Atlanta owes its very existence to railroads, rail lines. This was the third railroad station in the city. What were the other two?
Well, in 1918, Atlanta had a population of about 200,000, and it had two large passenger stations in the downtown, in the heart of the city. One was Terminal Station, the other was Union Station. And Terminal Station was located where the Richard Russell office building is today, just to the west of the Georgia Dome. And the smaller Union Station stood next to what's now Underground Atlanta. All that remains of it is basically a hole in the wall next to where MARTA passes by. So if you think of this as being Suburban Station to the north, today this is the station that serves a metropolitan area of 5.5 million. And so the transformation of our transportation system in the past 90 or so years, people drive by here on the expressway going to Washington and New Orleans, or they drive to the airport and fly to Washington and New Orleans rather than take the train.
There are three entrances across the front of the building. Why is that?
Well, the right entrance led into a white waiting room. And the central entrance was for passengers exiting trains, and the left entrance was to a drugstore.
You mentioned a white waiting room. Was there a separate entrance for the African Americans at the time?
There was. There was a side entrance designated as the colored entrance, and it led to a segregated waiting room which had its own restrooms for men and women. All the railroad stations constructed in the South beginning in the 1890s were designed with separate facilities for white and black passengers in advance of boarding segregated cars on the trains.
Is that entrance still open?
No, John. It was closed off when the railroad closed the separate waiting room and wet restrooms for African Americans, and then that whole area has been reconfigured for office use.
Dr. Crimmins, if we can, let's go inside the station to see what remains of the original configuration of the station.
So if you look around the room here, you can see where the entrance to the restrooms is located. And the way it's been reconfigured, that's both men and women. But when the station opened, that was the area for white women.
Now, if I'm correct, through this alcove right here is what was the drugstore, and it is now part of the waiting room. Can you tell us about its furnishings?
Yes, John. If you take a look at the wooden benches that are located in that area of the station, those are the benches from the colored waiting room. And so you just contrast those benches, which are don't have the high backs, are movable, so they didn't have the heating built into them for cold weather. And the colored waiting room had a concrete floor, not a marble floor. It had plain walls, not walls with marble wainscoting. So it really does, those benches remind us of the second-class status that was forced on African Americans as part of legalized segregation.
What was the complete experience for passengers, both black and white, coming through this station, and how did they differ?
Well, the railroads had first class and second class, and then a completely separate arrangement for African Americans. If you were a first class passenger, you would have porters who would be carrying your bags when you would be put into first-class cars. Keep in mind that it was the Pullman Palace Car Company that produced railroad cars. The palace cars were called that because they were, you know, quite grand. Of course, the experience of African Americans traveling was a second-class status. They were in the rooms that we've talked about that were not nearly as grand, and the cars that were set aside for African Americans were not the palace cars of the Pullman Company. They were pretty much coach. So even if you bought a first-class ticket, if you were an African American, you couldn't ride in first-class style.
Given the resurgence of interest in rail travel in the United States, do you think we can learn just as much about the future of rail travel in the U.S. as we can the past when we visit a station like this?
Yeah, I think that this can tell us what a railroad system is like when it works. But it requires volume. And what the automobile has done is deprive the rail system of the volume that makes rail passenger traffic economical. Think of it in terms of the volume of crowds that you find at the Atlanta airport today. It was a hub of activity of trains coming and going and people arriving and departing. And so when the station opened in 1918, the automobile was just getting going in Atlanta. And if you look out of the back of the building, you can see the, 16 lanes or so of the expressway system running by here, and that's where the automobiles led us.